Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabach.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with us on this beautiful Wednesday night. The farmer's market is happening in downtown Green Bay. There are people everywhere. It's just, it's a pleasure to be part of society tonight. That's what I'll start the show with. Great to have you with me. We are broadcasting, as Todd just said, live statewide from downtown Green Bay. And wherever you're joining us from, I hope you're having a great night. And I hope you've had a great day. Let's have some laughs together. We got some great interviews tonight, some clips. And we'll read some texts we got from last night, because the last part of last night's show was pre-recorded, so we were unable to address texts that came in. So we will we don't want to leave people out. We'll get to those texts. And during the Tom Lennon interview, that was really fun to talk to Tom. Did you that new boot goofing it stayed with me. And all I heard the whole night driving home last night was Tom's head saying new boot goofing is Jim Dangle. It was so great. And it wasn't like when you get an annoying song in your head either. You know, it was like funny, because he's so funny.
He just couldn't help but laugh.
I know. I'm having serious hair problems again here, Conrad. I know. I'll be okay. So we have some great guests tonight, as usual. I don't think we've ever not had a good guest. Tonight on the show, Andrea Belke will be here. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and many other things. She is taking the world by storm. She's been on Survivor 3 times. She's a Wisconsin resident who grew up on a farm. And I cannot wait to talk to Andrea. She's tons of energy, charisma. What's the word I'm looking for? A pistol? No, she's a juggernaut. That's
there,
it.
Yeah, there we go.
And she's acted, and she's hosted, and she's got this great energy. And I really want to ask her. I'm excited to ask her about Survivor, because that looks terrible to be on that show. I mean, they don't eat, they don't sleep. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll have that discussion with Andrea at 7:35. It'll be fun to welcome her to Nightlight. And then last week, or maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, Rob Thomas was here, and Rob told us about a show called Paul Blart. What is it? The apocalypse. Where are my questions? I'm a mess here. Paul Blart. Blart of Darkness. That's what it is. Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. And as I understand it, it's a stage show, and it was sold out every performance in Madison. The guy who wrote the show, and I believe directed it, was Alan Talaga. And I don't think Rob said that anyway from when he interviewed him for the Capital Times. So they're just doing this show, and now it's hitting the road, and it's really popular, and it's supposed to be great. And I'm very excited. Alan's an interesting guy. I was researching him today, and we'll talk to Alan at, what time do we have Alan? 8:35, Conrad?
Yep.
All right, 8:35. We'll talk to Alan. I couldn't remember if it was 8:20 or 8:35. So two really interesting guests. We had too much comedy last night. We got to take a comedy break. And even though, as I say that, I think we'll still have some laughs tonight. I mean, a guy who wrote a show called Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness, has to be good for a couple laughs. And
definitely.
Andrea seems very, she's got a lot of charisma. It'll be fun to talk to her too. I'm sure she's got Survivor stories. And, so lots going on tonight. Another good show. It'll be fun. Here's what drives me crazy. I drive down here and I see all these political signs everywhere, and I'm getting emails from Tim Walz now. The guy's been the VP candidate for about 12 hours and my inbox is flooded. This guy really wants to be my friend. So, and he seems like a great guy, but my question is, you see all these celebrities endorsing politicians. You got at the Republican convention last month, they had their usual guys they roll out, Kid Rock, Hulk Hogan, there's probably a couple others, and, you know, they're swearing their loyalty to Trump. You'll have your usual Democrats that line up, George Clooney, a lot of Hollywood will line up behind Democrats, lots of endorsements there. You'll see them on ads, you'll see them on, you know, social media posts. My question tonight is, do celebrity endorsements, regardless of what side of the aisle you are on, do celebrity endorsements of political candidates influence your vote? Let me know that. And if so, let me know whose endorsement influences your vote. There are, I don't know if these guys are Trump supporters typically, but like Sylvester Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, Chuck Norris, they've all been historically Republicans and pretty big movie stars. I don't know the Trumpers or not, but then, like I said, you've got, you know, George Clooney, Meryl Streep, the girls from The View, Stephen Colbert, all these other big names that will endorse Democrats. Does that affect your vote? And if so, whose endorsement means something to you? You like how Stephen Colbert presents his case for his candidate? Or Ted Nugent? Let me know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. That is our number. You can also text on the app if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app. I cannot recommend it enough. And not just because I work here at Civic Media, but because it's a great app. It's very easy to use. You take it with you. You get all your shows. You get your news. We have an award-winning news team here at Civic Media. It's a really great app and very easy to use. And our show is on statewide, so you just click on the icon and let us know what you're thinking. As usual, you can respond to anything we're talking about tonight. We got great texts last night while Tom Lennon was on, and Tom Ryan the other night. So we've got, Tony Boswell got some good texts, too. I know Carol Lynn, who was listening to the show last night, said that she watched The Road Dog last night. She gave me a compliment. She said, I did a good job. I have a small part. I play a comedy club owner. That was really fun. And she gave the film a pretty good review, which is nice because she paid like $4 to watch it. And you always want people to walk away happy. She says, finish The Road Dog. Story was very well written. You did a great job in the movie. Touching scene was comedian visiting his father and finally forgiving him on his passing, laying in bed. Definitely a message in that scene. Thank you very much, Carolyn. That's nice to hear that you put some money in a filmmaker's pocket because of Nightlight. So here's what I'm saying, Conrad. I think we should get a kickback. That's right.
Okay.
I want a taste. I want part of that. What did Tony say would be 0.0067 of a penny? I want some of that. I'm not letting that go. Here are some texts, too, we got last night while Tom was on the air that we couldn't address because we had recorded Tom earlier before the show aired live. But Andrew in Verona says he lives in Lake Geneva with the cutest dog in the world. Maybe Andrew lives in Lake Geneva. Well, Andrew lives in Verona, but he's obviously familiar with Tom's dog. So that's cool. Thank you for that, Andrew. Andrew continues, tell Tom we love him. New boot goofing, but we love Mimi the dog. Maybe a bit more. All right, that's fair. Sherry checked in as always. Hi, Pete and Conrad. Great show. So I don't think we missed anybody last night now, Conrad. We just read them all.
Yep.
Stacey Sue checks in on the stream tonight and says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Stacey Sue. Great to have you with us. Sherry checks in on the text line, hi, Pete and Conrad, with her awesome heart emojis that we love so much. And she put, hey, oh, that's kind of a cool,
yeah,
I like that, just to sort of kick the show off. That's great. Robert from McFarland says, nah, bro, but it's fun to know who is on my side. That's a great way to put it. That's kind of how I am, too. I don't think celebrity endorsements matter. And no one is going to see Kid Rock or Ted Nugent and go, oh, he votes for that guy? Okay. I'm going to go that way too. I think we're smarter than that as a society. I think we like our idols, be they musicians, actors, sports figures, whatever, and that's fine. But even the most, you know, half-witted people, I don't think are voting for political candidates because of celebrities. So that's a great answer, Robert. Sherry and Horicon says, celebrities are neat to see, but I really don't care how they vote. I'm the same way. And conversely, okay, I'll say this too, and I said this the other night. I don't, like, if I know, I don't like when people say, oh, and I said this the other night, Conrad, you probably remember this, when people say, oh, Bruce Springsteen said this, or oh, U2 said this, they're washed up. I'm never listening to them again. I don't understand that. They're just voting for their candidates. It doesn't mean you can't listen to their music or watch their movies.
Yeah.
I still watch Die Hard. I'm not going to go, wait a minute, Bruce Willis voted for George Bush or whoever? Come on. It's just silly.
See, I can relate to that. Like, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks to play, just with his talent. But what he does behind that, I don't really care.
Well, he opens his mouth. Yeah. Something new coming out. That's just unbelievable.
Just any athletic person out there, you know, sometimes you have these role models when you're growing up, and they'll post some stuff on social media about whatever. Have your own opinion, though, you know?
Correct. And I feel like when people follow their sports celebrities, they're sort of doing it like, I have a Homer Simpson voice in my mind. Like, if Dana White is voting for him, maybe I should too. No one's that dumb. I don't know. It's crazy. But I think this is a good question. I would like to know, and I'm not saying, you know, there are times where I do hear someone who speaks eloquently about a candidate. I'll go, that's great. In fact, if I didn't already have my mind made up, or maybe they put me over the top, maybe they forced me to get an absentee ballot. So I for sure got my ballot in and didn't get sick on election day. Maybe that happens. Maybe they get you more excited, but let us know your thoughts. That is the question. Always fun to read your answers on the radio. Do celebrity endorsements of political candidates influence your vote? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I also have a buddy in the hospital, Mike Desitel, who said to say hi to Tom Lennon last night. Mike is having some tough times, and he was an extra in the film The Godfather of Green Bay and remembers Tom and was a big fan. So hello to Tom from Mike Desitel. Get better soon, Mike. Conrad, how can people watch Nightlight on the radio?
Yeah, so if you go on Facebook, you can go to Nightlight with Pete Schwaber or WGBW. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter or X, we're under Civic Media.
While you're there, give us a like or a follow if you're definitely so inclined. It's always fun, and it's nice when people watch in the stream. Stacy Sue says, no influence to our question tonight. Robert from McFarland says, I cannot spend my money at businesses if I don't like their political lean. But I can separate the artist from the art. Yeah, I'm kind of that way too, Robert. Because I feel like if I'm going to go in and spend my money, it's not like I won't be nice to them or help them change a tire. But if I think they're going to turn around and give my money to somebody I don't approve of, I totally get that. So that's it. All right. So Andrea Belke will be here at 7:35. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and a 3-time survivor. That will be an interesting discussion. That's coming up. And we've got a lot of great stuff on Nightlight tonight. It's great to have you folks with us tonight. Hope you're having a great evening. This is Pete Schwabe. Coming up next, you guessed it, more Nightlight. So I remembered when the show started, I said to Conrad, I sent you a clip of Charlize Theron from Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, we have that clip. Why the heck do we? It is her birthday today.
Oh,
I knew
okay,
I wasn't
okay.
losing my mind. She turns, I don't know, but it's her birthday. And I love Charlize Theron. So let's start with this. This is just raw, awesome. Mad Max Fury Road. Charlize Theron turns 50 today. She's a rock star, and she's tough as nails. And this is a scene with her from Mad Max Fury Road.
This is our Furiosa. How long has it been?
7,000 days, plus the ones I don't remember.
Furiosa, what happened to your mother?
She died. On the third day.
From where did you come?
The West. Citadel. Beyond the mountains.
The men. Who are they?
They're reliable. They helped us get here.
She's so great. Oscar winner. Did you know that, Conrad?
I did not.
What do you think about that?
Good for her.
It makes me want to watch that movie again because I think kind of the consensus from people we've had on the show who watch movies for a living is that Mad Max Fury Road was better than Furiosa. and Furiosa couldn't follow Mad Max Fury Road. And they could have, you know, they could have put Furiosa out first. I'm sure they got the idea after to make a prequel, but that would have been a great lead-in to Mad Max Fury Road. Today is Root Beer Float Day. That's fun. Who doesn't love a root beer float?
Love those.
Communists, maybe? I do, too. I went through a phase last summer where I was, like, trying to find the perfect ice cream with the perfect root beer. I'd try Virgil's, and I'd try the Aldi root beer, which I love.
Oh, okay.
Sprecher. Yeah, they have great, like, sugarcane root beer. It's it's Aldi, so it's cheap. But, yeah, there's some great ones. I love a root beer float. That's probably my favorite summer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know,
it's a great summer drink.
I do like A&W's root beer float.
Yeah. Now, do you like the A&W with the high fructose corn syrup, or do you like the A&W from an A&W store? Because I notice a big difference personally.
I would always rather have like sugar cane than high fructose corn syrup. I like want to get that away from my diet completely. So.
Absolutely. I'm with you. So... Here's another. All right, I thought this was funny. My grandfather had a pair of snowshoes, and he passed away in the mid-90s. And one of my aunts is moving, and she offered them to me. She said, "Do you want Grandpa's snowshoes?" Well, first of all, I'm not a winter guy. I'm not a snowshoer. I'm not even an outside guy. But I find those old snowshoes, I can't think of anything less fun than putting on those old wicker snowshoes and walking around. And I told my Aunt Trish this because she has a great sense of humor. And she's like, no. Like, you put them on the wall for like a decoration.
Yeah.
People do that?
Yeah. I mean.
What? Buy a painting. How desperate are you to have fill some wall space, a pair of snowshoes?
I feel like it's more popular in like cabins or something, you know, up north.
Okay.
But if it's like you're in downtown Milwaukee and have that up there, it has to mean something to you then.
I guess so. She did send me a really cool, like, bright green blazer that my grandpa used to wear for St. Patrick's Day. And that I loved. And I love the gesture. But, man, snowshoes on the wall. I think my life is pretty much over if that's how I'm choosing to represent my home. Hey.
One day you're going to have a cabin. You're going to have it on there. I just know it.
I'm not a cabin guy. I'll go visit a cabin. I don't want a cabin. But I shouldn't say. This is another thing I love when people say. I mean, I'll take a cabin. There's a kid, kid in my neighbor, like, I don't need a batting glove. I mean, I'll take one. Like, who's walking around giving out batting gloves or snowshoes for the wall or cabins? Crack me up. Here's another thing I thought was weird. Like, I used to be a full-time touring stand-up comedian. And so I love words. And sometimes you say a word over and over. It's like that scene in Tommy Boy when David Spade is saying ROAD, road, right? The more they say it because they're stoned, the more silly it sounds. For years, I've thought the word news was strange. Tonight on the news. It sounds like a lame, like, I don't know when that started, but now it's just the news. Well, yeah, it's the news. But think about the first time they said that word. What's the news? It sounds weird. Like, they're saying what's new. But it turned into what's the news. It reminds me of like when Phil Dunphy on Modern Family says, what's the haps tonight? It's like got that same kind of feel. What's the news? What are the new things happening? I'm just saying, I think we can be a little more.
I don't think like that has the same ring to it.
You know what, Conrad? It's because you're not an intellectual and you need to really. this is something I thought was interesting. Todd Michaels shared this with us. Does it feel like when you study hard for an exam or you do something for work and you feel like your brain is throbbing?
Okay. Yeah.
So it goes on. I don't know where he got this from, but it says it could be those martinis from the night before, or it could be all the thinking. According to new scientific research, it really does hurt to think. But not exactly in the way you'd expect. The study's senior author puts it like this. In general, people really dislike mental effort. I like being a dumbass. I mean, that's why we look at our phones. Yeah, it's easier to not think. But it says the harder people have to think, the more unpleasant they find the experience. That baffles me. I mean, there's times I don't want to think for sure, but I love to think. I love to wake up in the morning if I had a dream or a weird thought the night before, I like to look up something and learn something new. I don't find that painful, and I'm not trying to brag. I don't think that's bragging. Saying I like to learn stuff. The harder people have to think, the more unpleasant they find it. So thinking hurts because it's so uncomfortable. The good news is that we're all in the same boat. No, we're not. The negative feelings associated with mental effort affect people throughout the world, across work experience, education level, and various types of tasks. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what's the alternative to not thinking? Being lobotomized? I got to be honest, kind of a fan of thinking. And I don't, maybe it's because I've never studied hard enough for an exam that I just don't, I've never really actually been in pain. Stuff I read, I like to read. I want to read it. Are you a reader, Conrad?
Oh, no. Yeah, I definitely am not.
I used to be. I wish I still was.
I did in college, but that was because I had to.
Yeah. Here's another thing Todd sent. I thought this was funny. It says the first pass Brett Favre ever completed in the NFL was to, do you know the answer, Conrad?
The Bears?
Himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say he completed a pass to himself, or he intercepted himself, however you want to say. He threw a lot of interceptions. Pass was tipped by a defensive lineman, and Brett caught it. He lost 7 yards in the process. Okay. From Discover Wisconsin and Survivor, coming up next, Andrea Belke. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight's question. Great responses so far. Do celebrity endorsements of political candidates influence your vote? And that could be positive or negative. And if they do influence it, or who has influenced it, I guess. Share whatever you like, folks. As you know, you're always welcome to be part of the conversation. Very exciting. We should have, Tom Lennon was here last night, Conrad. We should have asked him. He's very politically active.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have known, you know, what he plans to do this time around. So anyway, all right. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin. And is also a survivor, like a three-timer on the show Survivor, which I find fascinating. She joins us now on Nightlight via the stream. Andrea Belke. Hey, Andrea.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going very well. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I just got back from Utah. I was there yesterday visiting my sister. So now I'm back in Milwaukee because you're in Green Bay, right?
We are. We're in, downtown nice. Green Bay. Yeah, it's a beautiful night here. And are you from, where are you based right now?
Milwaukee.
Nice.
I grew up in Random Lake, Wisconsin. Have you heard of Random Lake?
I have. I had an uncle that lived there for a while. I don't know the circumstances. Might have been witness protection. I'm not sure. But he lived in Random Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up on a farm a little bit outside of Random Lake with my parents. And then moved to New York after college for 10 years. And then now I've been in Milwaukee about 3 years.
Wow. So is that nice for you? Like being centrally? I mean, I was looking at your resume. You are all over the place. You travel. You're hosting red carpets and being correspondents, and you do stuff in Milwaukee. Now you're doing Discover Wisconsin. Is Milwaukee a good base for you, given all that?
Right now it is. I mean, I was in New York for a while, and then honestly, I was just kind of homesick. I was really missing my family. I have two younger sisters, so growing up and then, you know, missing the key parts of their life, like graduations and basketball tournaments and everything. So I finally moved back, and I've just been a lot happier being back. And Milwaukee's a great city. I mean, there's so much to do. It's not as big as New York City, obviously, but I find enough local TV and opportunities, so I'm loving it.
Wow, good for you. I know what you mean, too. I lived in Los Angeles for years and years, and you know, like the big stuff you come back for, but like a second cousin wedding, stuff like that is the stuff you miss. And that's when you see your whole family. It's hard to miss that stuff. So good for you.
Yeah, you're right. It's always kind of hard to decide, oh, is this worth buying a trip home?
Right.
And then you feel like such a jerk. How long were you in Los Angeles?
Almost 15 years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What was the reason for finally coming back?
Witness protection. No, we, you know, it was, we were at a point where my kids were, we didn't leave for the reasons everybody says, oh, you wanted to raise your kids in a small town. It's like, that's not it. We just, it's family. It's all about family. Mm-hmm. And there's times I really miss LA and I was kind of commuting for a while, but you know, that gets expensive too. And you know, if there's like some project where I have to go out there, I'll go. But right now it, I have to say, and maybe you'd agree with this, it's so easy to live in Wisconsin.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, obviously winters can be tough. That
brutal.
Is, but I think it makes summers, like as soon as spring rolls around, I am so happy. I am happier, I think, than, you know, the average person in LA that has sun all year round. I think it's because it's this buildup, but the winters are pretty, yeah, they're
brutal.
Terrible.
I will not lie about that. I hate the winters and, you know, but whatever. You don't pick where you live based on weather. Well, some people do, but anyway. let's talk about Discover Wisconsin. For people who have not seen it yet, tell us what you do on the show and tell us about the show.
Yeah, so I host a show called Discover Wisconsin. We basically go all around the state exploring different counties, different cities, different events. I'll be going to Cranberry Fest coming up.
Nice.
We'll do different county fairs. Sometimes an episode will have a theme, like I in this next season that airs in at the end of August, I did an episode all about forest management and timber and all the things that you can do with timber. Did you know that wood is in your face products, in your toothpaste? I mean, there's just, I learn a lot about different things that are going on in the state. And I mean, it's a lot of the typical Wisconsin things too, like kayaking, canoeing, hiking, mountain biking.
Cheese curds.
But it's, yeah, lots of cheese curds. I'm actually lactose intolerant too. So I learned, for some reason, I didn't know Lactaid was a thing. So now on my shoes, I just make sure I bring a bunch of Lactaid and I can eat whatever I want.
Oh, there you go.
But there's a lot of checking out different breweries, distilleries, lots of food, cheese is a big one. We did an episode on Lake Geneva, which I've always heard about Lake Geneva. I didn't realize how cool that city is. All the speakeasies and all the lore around Lake Geneva. So it's been a really cool way to come back, still do what I love, which is TV hosting, and get to discover Wisconsin. But in a way that I really didn't growing up. Like, I don't know, my family and I, we didn't do a ton of traveling. We were all just really busy with 4-H and going to the, you know, getting our animals ready for the county fair. Yeah, that was a big part of my life. So we didn't really go around the state that much. And there's just so much to do just here in Wisconsin.
So, all right. Now I'm going to give you a little quick quiz. I wrote a script a few years ago. It was a half hour. And I put 4-H in it. And the other writer and me were trying to figure out what 4-H stood for. And we couldn't think of it. And I was never in 4-H. I'm the epitome of an inside guy. But you, as a farm girl and a 4-H'er, do you know what the 4-H's are?
Oh, my 4-H family is going to disown me. Okay, I haven't had to say this in so long, but it's my head for greater thinking, my heart for greater something.
Compassion, maybe?
My hands for greater service. Head, heart, hand. Health.
That's it. I think you're right. Wow. That's impressive.
My country, my community, my world.
That is impressive. Yeah. I thought I was going for a gotcha moment there and you turned it around and you slam dunked right in my face. How does that feel?
Yeah. I mean, I think those have to be the 4-H's. I can't think of any other H words at this point.
Where it fits. Yeah. Hectic. Yeah. That's not it.
Yeah.
So how did you get the Discover Wisconsin gig?
So when I moved back from New York, I actually had a producer reach out to me. I went to school with him at Stevens Point for college. We did student television together and he saw I was back in town and then was saying, hey, we have openings for hosts. And at the time I was working for People Magazine, which was a great gig, interviewing tons of celebrities, doing red carpets. But at that point it was all virtual. And once you interview celebrities, I mean, you do all the time. you know, they're just people, I think. And
right.
after doing it for 8 years, I was ready for something different. I was ready for also a little bit more of a freelance lifestyle where I could travel and kind of have a variety. So it was kind of perfect. I feel like after being in the business for, you know, 15 years at this point, now opportunities just kind of present themselves from like past connections.
Yeah.
It took a long, I mean, I'm sure you can relate to that. It takes a long time, but finally, just so many years later, it starts to kind of pay off of, oh, I'm so glad I did that project. Cause then now it opened up for 7 years later for this gig. Like it kind of like pays to put in all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So what have you learned about, like, and it's so funny what you say, there's more people, like we had Thomas Lennon on the show last night, and I just found out, I've known Tom for years, he just moved to Lake Geneva. Like, and that goes to what we were saying before about how Wisconsin is such an easy place to live. What area have you discovered that you didn't know about besides like Lake Geneva?
Well, I would say, I mean, okay, I growing up never went to Door County.
Oh, wow, and, really?
Which is, yeah, and so I feel like I was just, I'm sure a lot of people listening, it was like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. You go to Door County with your family. I never did until Discover Wisconsin, and we just went to Carlsville, which is pretty much an intersection, but there's about like four or five businesses right there, and it was just cool, and then after that, like going up and seeing more of it, but I mean, Door County, if you haven't been, it's the coolest area.
Beautiful.
And then even going all, I mean, I go all the way up to Lake Superior all the time, up to Superior, and then, you know, go across to Duluth.
Wow.
So a lot of my treks. Oh, and then Magdalen Island. Have you ever been there?
No, I've heard it's so beautiful. There's a lot of places. I've heard the Apostle Islands are great and Cornucopia and all these great places up by Lake Superior, but it's cold. I live in the Marinette area, so it's cold enough there. I don't need to go farther north, but I would. I've heard it's gorgeous.
It's cool. You take a ferry there. There's no cars on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, there are cars on the island. I was getting that confused with like with Mackinac, but there's no gas stations on the island. So you have to go back over to get gas. I don't think I'd want to live there, but pretty cool to visit.
Yeah. Where is the Cranberry Fest that you're going to?
Well, I haven't been sent the production book yet, so I'm actually not sure. I'm sure I could do a quick Google search.
Oh, that's
search,
okay. We toured an actual cranberry farm in the Three Lakes area several years ago when we first got back here, and that was really fascinating. Like, and they told us that they supply Ocean Spray with most of their cranberries come from Wisconsin, and I didn't know that. And it's just a little fun thing to geek out on, you know.
Oh yeah, cranberries are huge in Wisconsin, which is something I never knew.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything with cranberries yet, so that's coming up
very cool.
Next month.
All right, Andrea Belke is my guest. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and a new transplant to her home state. She recently moved back here and makes Milwaukee her home now. She's got some really cool stuff. Your resume is just like, I was exhausted reading it. You've done so much stuff. And how, I got to ask you about Survivor. You've done three tours of Survivor. You're obviously very good at it. That seems awful to me. How was it?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm not that good because I'm a three-time Survivor loser, but
wow.
I always do go very far.
Yeah.
And then people will vote. People will target me because I'm always good at the challenges, which I actually credit to growing up in Wisconsin because you play so many yard games.
Right.
And that's pretty much what the Survivor challenges are. And then I think growing up on a farm too, just kind of having the overall athleticism and just like random things, having a good aim. So it actually is really tough. I kind of went into it thinking like, how hard can this be? I've been camping. I grew up on a farm. I've worked really hard growing up. But I understand why I would never quit, but there are times where you actually kind of feel like you're dying and you understand why people do quit. Cause sometimes people quit the show and it's this huge disgrace and the fans are so upset, and I would never do it. But I remember thinking, having that moment going, oh, I understand, because you are starving. They give you like a tiny rice ration where it's probably about the size of your hand.
Wow.
And that's all you're eating. Like, that's the amount of rice you have all day. And there were some days we'd go like a couple of days without food. And then, so whenever people are just like, how hard is it? I'm like, okay, I dare you. Just go 2 or 3 days without eating at all. And then being like, or on an island, but like surround yourself by like these really crazy personalities and then throw $1 million in there. I mean, that's why like the producers don't have to make you say anything. It just all comes out because there's so much trauma because everyone's starving. You haven't slept. You're sleeping on bamboo. You're sleeping on whatever shelter you put together. And then in my first season, Nicaragua, it would rain every night and it would be, you'd be laying on the wet bamboo and just feeling drips, dripping all night. And then you hear people just like start like bugs. Slapping their, yes, the bugs. On my second season, I came home and I had all these bug bites on my knees, which I still have scars from. And okay, it wasn't this, but this is what it looks like. When I went to the doctor, he said, okay, that looks like you have larvae in your knees. Oh, okay, no. It wasn't that, but that's how infected they were. Like they were so bubbly and infected. Sorry, this is so gross. but you asked how hard it was.
No, I love this.
You would be sleeping and then rats would run across you during the night. So people would wake up from rats. And then just mentally, it wears you down. You can't trust anybody. People are just lying to your face. You're trying to also lie and you feel bad about yourself morally. You're like, I know this is a game, but I'm just telling this person I'm with them and I'm not. Now I feel terrible. But it was overall, it was a pretty brutal experience, but also super rewarding. So fun. It's one of those things you love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah. But you did it. You went back twice. Let's pick up there. Cause I do have more questions. I've done like a 36-hour fast a few times and I wouldn't have anybody within a 10-mile radius want to talk to me. Like it can make you really crabby. And if there was $1 million on the line, I'd probably just, I don't know what I'd do. So let's go. Yeah. All right. I have more Survivor questions. Andrea Belke is here. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and has been on Survivor 3, count them 3 times. And she's got larvae in her knees and all kinds of other things going on. We'll talk more about that. Coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back. Great to have you with me here on a Wednesday edition of Nightlight, wherever you're listening in Wisconsin. If you have a question for Andrea, text it in, or you could answer our question of the night. As always, you can chime in on just about anything you're thinking, unless it's absolutely crazy. Then keep your thoughts to yourself. Andrea Belke is here. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and is a 3-time Survivor. So you've been described in the research I did today, Andrea. They call you a
fake.
No. I'm not going to try to make you cry like Barbara Walters or anything. You've been described as a fan favorite. I would kill to be described as a fan favorite at any point in my life. Like, that's really cool. Like, did it give you strength when you were in Nicaragua, let's say, on Survivor, that people were cheering for you? Do you know that while you're going through the process?
So didn't know that at the time.
Okay. Because
you film the season and then you wait like 6 months and then it airs. So I knew that going into my second season because I was cast on Fans vs. Favorites. So yeah, I mean, that feels good, you know, but I also can recognize I had a really good edit. So they painted me as Wisconsin farm girl,
nice.
Tough. And strategic, and you know, they can take anything you say and air it. They can make you into anything because, as you know, I mean, sometimes we're nice, sometimes you maybe didn't. Well, you're on a fast, maybe right. You weren't the nicest,
right?
And they can make you into whatever character they want you to. So I've been so lucky that editors have been very, very nice to me.
That is good.
So that was, because honestly, I would say the hardest part about the whole experience for me was not even just playing, but being back and watching the reception and the social media of it. And it's only gotten worse and worse. It's just people are so mean. You get death threats. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so that's hard because there's a lot of anxious awaiting the episodes and wondering, oh my goodness, are they going to show when I went off on so-and-so? And then I was just lucky because they really never showed any of the bad stuff.
Wow. So what made you want to do it initially?
So I actually, my parents had both applied for the show.
Oh,
we would
cool.
watch Survivor as a family. They both applied and they didn't get on. But they one day I was in theater school and I didn't get into this play and I was so bummed out. And my mom said, why don't you try out for Survivor? And I was like, Mom, that's so different. It's do people even watch the audition tapes? I just thought it was so silly. But kind of to appease her, I sent in a tape and I really leaned into the Wisconsin farm.
Nice.
I mean, I actually, if you offered me $10,000, I would not show this tape. I'm so mortified. I was in my mom actually wanted me to do it this way, but I was in my bikini in the snow,
milking a cow,
swinging up on a horse. yeah. Right. No, basically, we don't have cows. We don't have the dairy cows, but I was catching pigs.
Wow.
It was so ridiculous. So I did a full send, really leaned into it, and they called me. And I think that whenever so many people ask me, how do you get recognized? What should I do for my tape? And I just say, find your niche and just go all out. Because once you're on the show, you can do whatever you want. You can be boring. You don't have to be all the things you said you were in the tape, but find what makes you really unique. And I just really leaned into the Wisconsin farm girl. And so they called me and flew me to LA for auditions and had me before the producers and Jeff Probst. And then I got cast on the show.
That's so cool. Conrad tried to get on Big Brother, but he wore a one piece. And I told him he should have wore a bikini, but he really just kind of blew it. But
Wait, he auditioned?
No. Maybe he did. I don't know him that well. Conrad's not that. He's not that type of guy. He's more of a private guy. So you've done a lot of like red carpet stuff too, Andrea. What is that like? Like when it comes to hosting, what do you like the most?
I mean, I do so many different types of hosting. I love live stuff. Like I work for the Morning Blend in Milwaukee and just doing live TV is really fun. But I will say the chapter of my life where I was doing celebrity interviews was really cool because it was a world that, you know, I grew up on a farm. No one in my family did anything theatrical or on TV. So I was really the first person to say, hey, I want to do TV stuff. And, I hosted at the Emmys red carpet,
yeah.
Oscars. I got to interview Robert De Niro, Brad Pitt, J-Lo.
Oh, man.
So it's fun. It's really nerve-wracking. You know, you get like two, you're like, okay, Brad Pitt's walking up. He just won his SAG award. You get two questions. That's almost harder than a sit-down interview because you're like, I get two? I better not mess this up.
Right.
So that stuff was really, really fun. And then I have a lot of fun doing the most random things. Like I got hired this year to do some hosting at the Westminster Dog Show.
So I'll
get booked for a job and then I just have to go into study mode where I need to be an expert on dog breeds. And so I know all about the Pekingese, the Sholowitz Queensley. That's the hardest one to say. And I was at the Westminster Dog Show hosting in the arena. Crazy stuff.
Whoa.
But I think live stuff is really fun because it's a lot more pressure and I do pretty well under pressure. So I like it all.
That's excellent. You'll always work. You know, if you're good under pressure and you can think on your feet, I mean, I think that's like, you know, as long as you don't start dropping F-bombs randomly, I think you'll always have a gig, you know? You talked about, you went to Stevens Point, which I think is interesting, mm-hmm. but you said you didn't have a theater background, but you have a BFA, I think it was in acting, right? So.
Oh yeah. I meant that my family didn't really have any
right.
theater background. So no one in my family pursued anything. Even though my family, they're good singers, they're creative. My mom's an artist, but they never did anything like pursued it professionally in terms of like, you know, television or getting a career in it. But I do have a BFA in acting. Yeah.
But that's impressive because you have to audition for that, right? To get into that program. So
mm-hmm.
the fact that you didn't grow up with theater and still got into a BFA program at Stevens Point, which is a pretty respected, as I understand it, program, that's really impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it was tough. The program was really tough and it definitely prepared me. I still do some acting. I just kind of found that the TV hosting was more my bread and butter and I just
yeah.
kind of felt like I was a little better at it. But the acting definitely, you know, it teaches you skills that help with really anything in entertainment.
Right. You also I saw your resume and you have you say, oh boy, a lot, like I'm going to uncover something. I don't think you have anything that would be that horrible, but it does say juggling. And the first thing I thought of what does that mean? Juggling gigs? Because your resume is like 8 miles long with hosting stuff. Or do you mean actually juggling, like bowling pins or tennis balls?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's probably my special skills section. I do have a lot of random special skills. The thing about a theater degree is, it's always funny when I talk to someone. My sister right now, she's in PA school, right? So she is studying for her finals. And she is like, you know, really, like really high level things. And I'm like, one of my finals in college was a juggling final. Like, I'm not even kidding. It was basically a clown class where our final was juggling.
I put
that on there because it's fun. And honestly, whenever I can fit it into a shoot, I do, whether or not they use it, that's up to them. But I do a lot of juggling on Discover Wisconsin. Like, if we went to the apple orchard, best believe I juggled the apples. Oh, I can take a bite out of them while I'm juggling.
I am totally TiVoing that. Hey, can you hang out with us for a few more minutes through the news? I have a few more questions for you. Okay. And maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll even juggle. Andrea Belke is here. We're having fun at Nightlight. More coming up with her after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight.